Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In the previous shiur, we were exposed to a machlokes tanoim between the Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon regarding a Novi Shehidiach and Madiche Ir Hanidachas. What we're going to see in today's shiur, in the opening, we're going to be introduced to a Machlokes Amoroyim. And by way of markings, this Machlokes Amoroyim is featured by triangles, the first of which is at the very bottom of Pei Tes Omid Beis. You'll notice Rav Chisda's name is in a triangle. And through the upper part of Daf Tzadi, you'll notice Rav Hamnuna's name is in a triangle. And they're also accompanied by numberings 1 and 2 found to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We've featured the purpose of these markings in our Nosei Mivne heading. You'll notice in the margin where a triangle is featured, we've noted it's a Machlokes Amoraim, Bema Cholku Rabbi Shimon V'Chachomim Be'inyan Novi Ha'oiker. Number one, Bavli Vizara, and two, Bishar Mitzvahs. There's a machlokes, Amoraic controversy concerning the Tanaic controversy. The Tanaic controversy is a reference to Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. When it comes to what is it that the Novi, that the prophet is coming to uproot, when we saw that a Novi Shehidiach is Chayev, Skila, or Chenek, depending on which Tanaic position you take, what is the Navi doing? What is he saying doesn't apply with regard to the Torah? So you have a possibility within the realm of Avodah Zorah, idolatry, and a possibility that within the realm of other mitzvahs there is some kind of issue going on. We will see that as we go on in the Gemara, and we'll also be noting the breakdown. We're going to have a number of internal numbering systems. They will be concerning the uprooting of idolatry totally, that the Navi says in the name of God that it is totally allowed to serve idols, a command to serve idols, or a partial uprooting of that. In other words, the Navi might come along and try to convince people that it's allowed to serve idols partially. In other, for example, it's mutter to bow down to them, or it's mutter to offer a sacrifice to them, but not to do other things. And likewise, with regard to other mitzvahs, if a Novi comes along and uproots a mitzvah completely from the Torah and says such and such mitzvah does not apply at all, or he comes and uproots a partial aspect of that mitzvah. So we now continue with the Gemara itself. Omar Rav Chisda. Machlokes, we're at the top of Tzadi Omer Alf now. Machlokes. Notice we've dashed underlined the word machlokes. We're going to be noting with a dash underlined in the next few lines the expressions machlokes and divrei hakol. Machlokes represents point of controversy between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Shimon, in this case as Rav Chisda sees it, and points at which divrei hakol, where the Tanoim are in agreement, according to Rav Chisda. We will continue that marking style when we get to Rav Hamnuna a little bit later. So according to Rav Chisda, Machlokes, the Machlokes between Rabbonon and Rabbi Shimon, Ba'okir Haguf Davoides Kechavim, that's point one, where a Novi comes along and says that Avodah Zorah entirely does not apply. So you'll see there the Machlokes that we saw before, where the Chachamim say he is Chayev Skila, the Novi who does that is Chayev Skila, and Rabbi Shimon says Chayev Chenek. On another point, number two, V'kiyu Mitzas U'Bitul Mitzas, the Avodas Kechavim. Notice how we're treating this as with a phrase marking. Kiyu mixas bitul mixas, to read that together. That means partial maintenance and partial uprooting of that particular mitzvah. in the realm of Avodis Kechavim with regard to idolatry, that too will be a point of Machlokes Tanoim. The Rachmona Omar, the Torah says, Min Haderech, Afilu Miktsas Haderech, even part of the mitzvah. If the Novi tells in the name of God that part of the laws of Avodah Zorah do not apply, that too will mechayev him misas beisdin, and as we saw before, what kind of misas beisdin, that's the machlokes tanoim. Avol. Point three, and we've squiggled on the word avol because this is a transition expression, and many times in our marking system, transition words we emphasize with a squiggle underline. So he says, avol oiker haguf dishar mitzvahs, when it comes to the uprooting of another mitzvah entirely, divrei hakol, everyone will agree, namely even the chachamim will agree, bechenek, that the Novi who says that prophesies in the name of God that another mitzvah is totally non-binding, then he is punishable by court execution through strangulation. Number four, the kiyum mitzas ubitol mitzas debishar mitzvahs. Once again, divrei hakol, you see there is total agreement that potter, that he is exempt. In other words, he's not chayav misas beisdin for uprooting in a partial portion other mitzvahs. So, as you can see, there are, according to Rav Chisda, there are two points of controversy, and there are two points of agreement. Mosiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna quotes from he brings a Tanaic source that cites the same psukim that Rav Chisda was citing, and you'll see from this Tanaic source, as far as Rav Hamnuna is concerned, a question on Rav Chisda's approach. The pasuk says lo leches. That's a quote from the pasuk. Zu mitzvah saseh, bo zu mitzvah lo saseh. So the pasuk is describing the issue of the Novi that comes to lead one astray. So he comes to lead one astray from mitzvah aseh and mitzvah lo saseh, positive commands and negative commands. If one were to think that these psukim are dealing with idolatry, as Rav Chisda taught, asay bavodes kechavim hechi mishkachas law, where in the realm of idolatry is there a positive command? The Rashi says lo leches zu mitzvah asay. Braiso hi b'sifri. This is a Tanaic source in the Sifri, which is a sefer of midrashim that darshins a sefer dvarim from where these psukim are coming. Gabi Parshas Novi Hamadiach, the Kosav Bohadocha, where the Torah writes about a Novi that comes to lead people astray. Lahadichacho min haderech asher tzivo Hashem Elokecho lolechas bo. This is the pasuk that, in a fuller sense, that the Gemara, that the Braisa was quoting from, that he tries to lead you off the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you to walk on. Fedorish Kro Yisera, the Tanoim are darshaning the extra words lo leches. That expression is zu mitzvah saseh, the mashma lasos. The word leches means to do something, velo mashma azhora. And bo is a lo saseh. The word bo from this pasuk is learned de gamrinon me asher chota bo. In Vayikra Dalid, pasuk chav gimel, de beloi saseh mairi. This is a parsha dealing with the nosi, that the king that sins, and in that pasuk the word ba is a reference to a negative command. Alma debishar mitzvus nami hocha gabi hadocha ksivi. Therefore, as Rav Hamnuna understands things, the issue of other mitzvus is part of the parsha of Novi Shidiach. And in the parsha of Novi Shidiach, you have the machlokes tanoim, not divrei hakol. So in the parsha of Novi Shidiach, if it concerns other mitzvahs, it would be inaccurate to say divrei hakol, like Rav Chisda said. The lo mishtoi kro elo bavodah zorah. If it were so, like Rav Hamnuna claimed, that the pasuk is dealing only with the realm of idolatry, my aseiko, what positive command is there in the realm of avodah zorah? So the Gemara continues with a very interesting approach. Remember, Rav Chisda was the one asking the question, but Rav Chisda actually gives and offers an answer in defense of Rav, Rav Chisda was the one that had been asking the question, and now we see here that Rav Hamnuna's as a response to Rav Hamnuna's question, Rav Chisda offers the following answer: Tirgema Rav Chisda unitatztem, positive command concerning idolatry that you shall smash them. So smashing is a positive act, a get up and do something. It's not a negative, a passive thing, but you get up and smash them. That's a mitzvah saseh in Avodah Zarah. However, we noticed that Rav Hamnuna had asked a question on Rav Chisda's approach. What is Rav Hamnuna's own approach to these psukim? Rav Hamnuna Omar, and hence we numbered him number two, and with a triangle. He goes over the machlokes tanoim between Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon. Under what circumstances are they cholik? Bearing in mind that Rav Hamnuna said that the psukim dealing with Novi Sheker concern other mitzvahs as well, not just idolatry. So Rav Hamnuna Omar machlokes. Notice we have the dashed underline again. Ba'okir haguf, the uprooting entirely, bein ba'avodas gechovim, bein b'shar mitzvahs, whether it be idolatry or other mitzvahs as well. Notice with our markings, we've dot underlined bein b'shar mitzvahs, because this is the point of controversy between Rav Hamnuna and Rav Chisda. We have a note indicating on the side, this is number three that you see in parentheses, Mispar Zu Misuman Bitsura Shana. It's denoted in a different way than the other numberings, which were totally circled, that Neshazu Nikudas Amachlokis, because this is the point of controversy. We're trying to emphasize that and draw your attention to it through some slight change in the markings. Okay, so that having been said, we have 2 points so far of machlokas and another example, the kiyu mitzas ubitul mitzas davodes gechovim. That too will be part of the tanaic controversy between Rav Shimon and Chachomim, the Rachmon Omar min haderech, which equals afilu mitzas haderech. That if he tries to lead you astray with regard to avodah zara, even if it's a partial leading astray, that too is the subject of the pasuk of Novi Shidiach, and hence that is the subject of their machlokas. What is the penalty given to a Novi Shidiach? Avol, kiyum mixas ubitul mixas to bishar mitzvahs, with regard to the partial uprooting of other mitzvahs, divrei hakol poter. Everyone will be in agreement that there's no capital penalty assigned to that. The Rashi points out that the Loleches Bo Posuk that we were darshaning before is not mashma to Rav Hamnuna as going on the Nitatzdem that we mentioned before of smashing the Avodah Zorahs, and rather it's going on Avodah Zorah. Tonu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source says, and you see we have a Tanaic source, about 4 lines, as you can see it's noted in a frame, HaMesnabe Lakor Dovor Min HaTorah Chayav. One who prophesizes to uproot something from the Torah is guilty. L'kayim Mitzas U'Levatel Mitzas, partial uprooting, Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon exempts from a capital punishment. U'Ba'avoidas Kechavim Afilu Oimer Hayoyim Ivduha U'Lemocher Bitluha. Divrei Hakol Chayov. With regard to idolatry, though, if he does a partial uprooting, saying today worship it, tomorrow do not worship it, that's called Kiyum Mitzas in Bitul Mitzas. Divrei Hakol Chayov. Everyone will be in agreement that there is a capital offense. In this source, we see the same topic featured as above, the issue of Avodah Zarah and other mitzvahs, the issue of partial fulfillment, partial uprooting or total uprooting. We saw above Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna explaining under what circumstances there will be a machlokes tanoim and under what circumstances there would be total agreement between them. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice Abaye and Rava, we've double underlined their names, and in order to focus our attention on them and parallel them eventually to Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna, as you can see that their names are also marked off, we've featured them as well with a special double underline with a double underline with dots in them, just to distinguish them from Abaye. and Rava, but nevertheless, Abaye and Rava will explain this source, Abaye taking Rav Chisa's approach, and Rava adopting Rav Hamuna's approach, and threading in their respective approaches to the machlokes tanoim between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon. So in this kind of sugya, it's fortunate that we have the markings available, but even with that, it's necessary to bear in mind, and with the markings you can navigate, to see how this source can be read both according to Rav Chisda's approach and Rav Hamuna's approach, as we saw above. So as we continue in the Gemara, we see Aleph, Abaye Sovar Law Kerav Chisda. He agrees with Rav Chisda's approach. Umetaritz Law Kerav Chisda. He sets up this source. Metaritz literally means he answers it or he straightens it out. We'll say he sets up the source like Rav Chisda explained. Rava Sovar Law Kerav Hamnuna. Umetaritz Law Kerav Hamnuna. And Rava accepts Rav Hamnuna's approach and does the same with regard to the source as Rav Hamnuna would have done. Now, as the Gemara gets into the actual presentation, we featured with a house marking, Abaye Sovar Lo K'Rav Chisda, and a few lines down, you see Rava Sovar Lo K'Rav Hamnuna with a similar house marking. Continuing now, Abaye Sovar Lo K'Rav Chisda, notice we have an Aleph here. This corresponds to the Aleph that was circled just two lines up, Abaye's approach, and he explains it, Umetaritz Lo K'Rav Chisda. So as we go on, we've put in a frame the next few lines, even though this isn't the way the source actually appears, this is the way to understand the source through the eyes of Rav Chisda, as presented by Abaye. Hamisnabe la'akor dover min haTorah, divrei hakol b'chenek. By the way, it's also very important to note, we have what might appear at first glance as an odd numbering system. The numbers will appear out of order as we go on, but have no fear. These numbers correspond to the original numbering system that we adopted at the top part of the page when we saw Rav Chisda present the different points of controversy and agreement. So, for example, number 3 corresponds to the original number 3 that you saw four lines from the top, where he dealt with Oker Guf Dishar Mitzvos. Here, we're dealing with Oker Guf of other mitzvos, because Avodah Zorah will appear only a few two lines later from this point. So at this point we're dealing with other mitzvahs. So hamisnabe lakor dovor min haTorah divrei hakol b'chenek, and this corresponds to the number 3 where Rav Chisda made his presentation, and that's exactly what he says, divrei hakol b'chenek, here too. And we've again dashed underlined the expression divrei hakol, and we'll try to keep this marking consistent, the dashed underline where divrei hakol or machlokes appears, either in the text or as a result of something we wrote in. So there is agreement with regard to Oker Dover min haTorah b'chenek, if it's a total uprooting of other mitzvos. A Novi who tries to convince people through that he prophesized in the name of God that another mitzvah is totally suspended, that Novi will be chayev strangulation. Another point, l'kayim miktsas ulevatel miktsas, Rabbi Shimon poter v'uhadin l'rabbonan. And regarding partial uprooting of other mitzvos, there is agreement that between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan that he is exempt from a capital punishment. This too, you can compare to the number 4 at the upper part of the page, where in fact it said divrei hakol poter in this case of kiyum mitzvos and bitul mitzvos of other mitzvos. Continuing, the next point, ubavodes kechovim afilu omar hayoim ivdua ulamocher bitluha. With regard to idolatry, even if he does a partial uprooting, today worship, tomorrow do not, which we call kiyum mitzvos and bitul mitzvos by avodah zarah, there is chayav means he's guilty of a capital offense. However, in this case, there is not agreement between the Tanoim. Mor kiri islay, the Chachamim would hold b'skila, umor kiri islay, and Rabbi Shimon would hold b'chenek. So if you glance above at point number 2 where Rav Chisda made his presentation, point number 2 was in fact a point of machlokes, point of controversy, and that was as far as Rav Chisda's presentation was concerned. So in the Tanaic source, there are three out of 4 points that are dealt with. Rava savar lo k'ravanuna, umetaritz lo k'ravanuna. Rava accepts Rav Huna's approach to his explanation of the machlokes tanoim, when is there skila versus chenek, Rabbi the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, and he will explain the source that we saw previously according to the way Rav Hanuna would do it. And here we go. Hamisnave lakor dovor minatora. Someone prophesies to uproot something from the Torah, and uproot means completely uproot. Bein b'avodas chachamim. Notice this corresponds to the original number one at the top of the page. Whether it be avodah zarah, idolatry, bein b'shar mitzvos. And notice the three appears in that in the parentheses as opposed to a circle, because this was once again the point of controversy: a total uprooting of other mitzvos, chayov. Mar kide islay or mar kide islay. Regarding these two topics, there is a machloikis, and we've written in the word machloikis to contrast this with the divrei hakol that we saw before with regard to Rav Chisda's approach, and particularly the case number three, a total uprooting of other mitzvahs, is still a machlokes tanoim according to Rav Hanuna's approach, each one holding their own shita. You have the Chachamim holding skila and Rav Shimon holding chenek. L'kayim mitzvahs ulevatel mitzvahs. When it comes to bishar mitzvahs, partial uprooting of other mitzvahs, Rabbi Shimon potev v'adin l'rabbonan. There will be agreement that the Novi who prophesizes partial uprooting of other mitzvahs, that there is exemption from capital punishment. And ubavodes kechavim, when it comes to idolatry and you're dealing with a partial uprooting, afilu omer hayoyim ivdu alumocher bitlua, chayov, partial uprooting of avodah zarah, there is a capital offense. However, what type of punishment? Markid islay umarkid islay, the chachamim holding skila and Reb Shimon holding chenek. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bakol. With regard to all mitzvahs, im yomar loch novi, if a known prophet says avor al divrei Torah, violate the mitzvah, shma lo, so you should heed him, you should listen to him. Chutz mavodas kechavim, with the exception of idolatry, shafilu ma'amid loch chamo b'emtza rakia, even if he does an amazing sign like holding the sun still in the middle of the heaven, al tishma lo, do not listen to him. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. In this source, we are going to be featuring with a diamond, Rabbi Yosef Glili, so as to contrast him with the next source where Rabbi Akiva appears, and he's also noted with a diamond, and these diamonds have a colored-in tip to them, so as to distinguish them from diamonds that were seen previously on the facing pages. So in this source, Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, Higia Torah L'Soif Daito Shel Avodas Kechavim. The Torah deals in an extreme fashion with regard to Avodah Zarah and gets to the bottom of the mindset involved in idolatry. L'fikach Nosna Torah Memshola Bo. Shafilu Mamid Loch Chamo Be'emto Rekia Al Tishmalo. That if the person trying to convince you, a prophet who tries to convince you, or even if it's a prophet that tries to convince you to do idolatry, and he tries to do that by showing you a sign, by holding the sun still in the middle of its heavenly travel, do not listen to him. In order to explain some of the words of this source, we're going to take a look at Rashi's approach. Rashi is found in the outside column, the upper part of the page, Nosna Hatera Memshalabo, Klomar. The word Klomar in Rashi indicates that the explanation doesn't parallel in an exact fashion the translation of the words. So one is supposed to understand the comment in this source as follows. Afilu Tare Oisoi Novi Moshel Or let's read that again. Afilu tir'eh oisei navi Moshe'el ve'oisei kiritzono. Even if the navi, you see the navi sort of having rule over and the heavenly forces operating according to his whim. Even if he does that, the pasuk itself testifies to this possibility that someone is going to come and offer an amazing sign to back his claim up, his claim to serve the idol. Nevertheless, the source tells us, do not follow him. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chas v'shalom, Shakadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid chamo li'oivrei ritzono. Heaven forbid the thought that God would give strength to a false prophet, someone coming along and claiming that he is prophesying to go ahead and serve idols and has the strength to control the acts of nature. Ella, so what is being referred to when there is a note made of a Navi coming along and giving a sign of a wondrous nature and still telling you not to heed him? Ella, kagon Hananya ben Azur, shemitchiloso Navi MS. This is a gentleman who started off as an honest, true prophet, and in that capacity he was able to work acts of wonder. And ulebesof Navi Sheker, and afterwards, basing himself on his previous glorious status, he now comes along and tells you to serve idols, claiming that he is someone to be listened to because in the past he performed wondrous acts, controlling nature seemingly so, and is now not doing the wondrous act at this point, but basing himself on his past record and now telling you to serve an idol. The Mishnah mentioned that the Zomame Bas Kohen, the lying witnesses concerning the daughter of a Kohen, a married daughter of a Kohen who behaves immorally, that they are subject to the Chenek death penalty. And the Mishnah also mentioned that Bo'ala, the paramour, the one that is in intimacy with her, also gets the Chenek death penalty. This is all as opposed to the woman herself. The Bas Kohen, the Nesua Bas Kohen, gets Srefa. The Gemara asks, what are the sources for what the Mishnah teaches? Minohani Mili. Omar Rav Acho Breid Ravika Desanya. The following Tanaic source. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Ma Talmud Lomar Li'ochiv. The Girsa, that we just read, suggests skipping the first five words of the pasuk, but we can read it again with it. The point being that the emphasis of this drasha is going to be on the word li'achiv. So if you read it straight through, you would have read ma tamed lomar v'asisem loy kasher zomam lasos li'achiv. The word li'achiv is being darshaned. It's a seeming extra word. The pasuk dealing with the lying witnesses, that you do unto them what they try to do to their brother. The emphasis here is on the male aspect. Lefi shekol ha mumsin shebetura. When it comes to all other capital offenders in the Torah, zomemehen ubohalehen kayotze bohen. The lying witnesses, and in the case of the Mumsin Shebetura, women who are behaving immorally, the paramours, the ones that are with those women, will get the same penalty. For example, a Naha Murasa is subject to Skila, so the man that's with her also gets Skila. So the lying witnesses would get what they try to impose on the woman, and the paramour gets the same penalty, the same punishment. Bas Kohen. However, when it comes to the daughter of a Kohen, he bisrefa, the ain bo'ala bisrefa. She gets the srefa penalty, the boyel, the paramour, does not, he gets chenek. And that is darshan from the pasuk in Vayikra Chof Aleph, pasuk Tes, where the expression es avia hi mechaleles appears. And the Gemara earlier in the Masechta, Daf Nun Aleph, explained that he is exclusionary. She gets the sreifa penalty and not the paramour. He gets chenek. Zaymimin, the liars, the lying witnesses, eini yodea im loy hukshu, are they compared to him, and that would mean chenek, im lo hukshu, or are they compared to her, and that would mean they get sreifa. As we said before, when we're dealing with Edim Zemimim, they get what they try to impose on the defendants. In this particular case, when you're dealing with a Nesua Bas Koyein, the defendants are getting different punishments. She is getting Sreifa and he is getting Chenek. So the lying witnesses, what do they get? Kishu Omer, when the Pasuk says La'asois La'achiv, this is what we quoted before, in this Pasuk from Edim Zomimim, they get what they try to do La'achiv, we darshan La'achiv the male, to the man the lo la'choso, literally to the brother and not to the sister, but it means to the man and not to the woman. They get chenek. The Rashi says in the outside margin, he says La'achiv v'lo la'choso kol hecha debeidusan mechayven ish v'isha. Wherever through their testimony they're trying to condemn a man and a woman, v'dinon choluk kihacha, and there's a difference between the man's punishment and the woman's punishment, loy hukshu, unto him they are compared. And hence in this case with the Zomame Bas Kohen, they will get what they try to impose on him, and that is chenek. With that, we complete the 10th perek, and now begin the perek chelek. Perek Chelek is a very unusual perek in that the overwhelming majority of the perek is devoted to what we would call agoda as opposed to halacha, and it's coming on the heels of the prokim that we're dealing with, the Misos Bezdin. So Rashi points out that originally, before this perek, we were dealing with Arba Misos Bezdin. And now, those are people, and actually they're put to death by court execution. And now, the perek deals with the issue of the chelek, or the lack thereof, of a person in Olam Haba, the portion of a person in Olam Haba. The perek begins, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Shenemar V'amech Kulam Tzadikim L'Olam Yirshu Oretz Netzir Matoai Maseh Yodai L'Hispo'er. So from this pasuk, we are to understand that all of Israel, almost all, is destined to a chelek, a portion in the world to come. V'elu she'ein lahem chelek lom haba. There are, however, categories of individuals that do not receive a portion in the world to come. Ha'oimer, one who says, ein tchiyas ha'mesim min ha'Torah. And here we have a very dramatic point. The translation of this is that one who claims that there is no revival of the dead from the Torah. Rashi points out that even if he claims, I believe in the revival of the dead, but I just claim that there is no proof of this in the scriptures, that kind of person will not benefit being revived. In other words, he is ain lo chelek li olam haba. Let us see this in Rashi. Hochi garsinan haoimer ain tchias hamesim min haTorah shekoifer b'midrashim de darshina b'gemara. He denies the expositions of verses that the Gemara will do. Look, come on, as we go on, the Gemara will ask, minayin the tchias hamesim min haTorah, from where do you know that there's the revival of the dead in the Torah? Even if he concedes and believes that there is revival of the dead, elodelo remiza baraisa, simply he claims it's not alluded to in the written law, in the written Torah, koifer hu, he is considered a denier. Since he is uprooting the existence of revival of the dead from the scriptures, malanu ule emunaso, of what value is his personal belief? From where does he know, if not from the scriptures, from where does he know that there is such a thing? Hilchoch Koifer Gomuhu. Therefore, as far as we are concerned, he is considered a denier. I believe that there is a hidden message in this Rashi that one's belief system, if it's not based on a tradition such as scriptural references as learned by the rabbis, or Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, some type of oral tradition that goes back to Sinai, but rather comes up with points of view and opinions that are, well, of a total personal nature. This is the way it appears to me. If one comes to conclusions like that without any basis in tradition, such beliefs are of little to no actual value. And we're saying this even in the context where the belief system, where the belief doesn't run necessarily counter to something of a genuine nature. But if his belief is based on purely personal opinion and in denial of a traditional basis, once again, such a belief system is of little to no value. Continuing in the Mishnah, after mentioning that one who denies Tchis HaMesim from the Torah, we go on, the Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, one who says that the Torah is not from heaven. Once again, you may have someone that says that the Torah is a nice book, and it was composed by a nice bunch of people, but it is of no heavenly origin. He too is not subject to a chilek in Olam Haba. The Apikoros. Rashi on this says that this will be discussed and defined in the Gemara later. Rabbi Kiva Omer, we've circled Rabbi Kiva as well as Abba Shoal. These Tanoim are adding more examples to the list of those who do not have a Chelik L'Mahaba. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Av HaKuri B'Sforim HaChitzoinim. So to one who engages in the study of external works. V'Haloichesh Al Hamako V'Oimer. One who has an injury and says something on regarding that injury, and he says, "Kol hamachlo asher samti b'Mitzrayim loy osim olecha ki ani Hashem roifecha." So, uttering this type of thing over an injury is cause for someone to lose his chelik l'olam haba. Abba Shoal Omer af hahoige es Hashem be'Ois Yosef. One who pronounces the name of God in a literal or phonetic pronunciation. Shlosha Molochim ve'arba'o hedyotos ein lohem chelik le'olam haba. There are three kings and four commoners that do not have a chelik le'olam haba that we know by name. Shlosha Molochim, three kings, include Yeravam, Achav, u'Menashe. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with regard to Menashe, and he says Menashe yeshlo chelik l'olam haba, shenemar vayispalel olav. The Menashe, he claims, has a chelik l'olam haba, as the pasuk says, vayispalel olav vayeoser lo vayishma tchinoso vayeshivehu Yerushalayim l'malchuso, where the pasuk features Menashe praying, and it says he was restored to his monarchy. Omru lo, the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda respond and say, L'malchuso Heshiva, as a result of his prayers, he was restored to his monarchy. However, there's an inference here. To his monarchy, yes, V'loi l'chaye olam haba Heshiva, but he was not restored to his portion in the world to come. Arba hedyotos, the four commoners that have no chelik l'olam haba, include Bilam, V'doyeg, Achitofel, V'gechazi. V'kol kach loma, why is it so that someone who says Ein Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah, that he loses his portion in Olam Haba? Tana, so we have a teaching that says Hu Kofar B'Tchias HaMesim, he is denying the revival of the dead. L'fikach lo yalo chelek B'Tchias HaMesim, therefore he has no share in that experience. Shekol Midosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mida K'neged Mida, the way that Kadosh Baruch Hu judges man is measure for measure. Therefore, as we said before, the fact that he denies revival of the dead thereby causes him to not have a share in that event. The Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar of Yonason. Minayin shekol midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. From where do we see an illustration of the Kadosh Baruch Hu's dealing with mankind measure for measure? Shenemar, we have a pasuk. This pasuk is from Sefer Melachim at a time that there was great famine, and the prophet said that God informed him that by tomorrow there will be a food available at a very cheap cost, Bishar Shomron. And as we will see momentarily in the Gemara, there was someone who heard the prophet saying this and said that even if God opens up windows of rain from windows of the heavens and brings all of this bounty, such a thing could not be. And then we will see what happens to this denier. Shenemar vayomer Elisha shimu devar Hashem koes mochor, 24 hours from now. In other words, like this time tomorrow, saw soilus b'shekel, saw measures. It's a size of a measure of soilus of flour will be a shekel. Usasayim sa'urim and two saw of barley b'shekel b'sha'ar shomron. That's what will be tomorrow at this time. So imagine, you have a period of great famine, and within a very short amount of time, within 24 hours, there will be a tremendous bounty of food, and it will, as a result of the tremendous bounty, the prices will be very low. Uksiv vayan hashalish, skipping a couple words, S.E. Sholokim, the Sholish, an individual that was there, that was in service of the king, he responds to the Ish HaLakim, to the prophet. The reason we skip this is so that you can see the flow in this pasuk, who the Sholish is answering. So we read, Vayana Sholish, and we skipped, who is he answering? Es Ish HaLakim. But in brackets here, we have a descriptive expression of the Sholish. So we'll read this again. Vayana HaSholish, Asher LaMelech, Nishan Al Yodo. The Sholish, this officer that the Melech was resting on him, the Sholish was a person that was serving the king, and he answers, S.E. Sholokim, Vayomer, Hinei Hashem Oisa Arubos Bashamayim. Behold, even if God would make windows in the heavens, Hayeh Hadovar Hazeh, could there be such a thing? Vayomer, and the prophet answered, Hincha Royeh Beinecha. You will see it, umisham lo tochel, but from that you will not benefit. You will not eat from that bounty. Uksiv, and it goes on to say, vayhi loy kein, and so it was, that there was great bounty, and vayirmesu oisoi ha'om b'shar vayomos. The masses of people came and trampled him at the gate, and he died. Rashi at the top, in the outside margin, during this parak, you'll notice that Rashi occupies both columns of commentary. Rashi at the top says, "Vayilo kein, vayirmesoso, the bedover shekofar boy nidoin." With regard to the matter itself that he denied the bounty, the possibility of such bounty, well, in that very matter he was judged. Shelo ochal misham, he didn't eat from that. Venir mas biragli haboim liknos, and he was trampled by those very people that were coming to buy from that bounty. The Gemara asks, well, but still, how do I see here, how do I see in his death the issue of measure for measure? Vidilmo kilas Elisha gormalei, maybe it was Elisha's curse that he said, you will see and not eat. He was in effect cursing this fellow. Maybe that's what caused his death. The Omar of Yudomarav, kilas kocham afilu alchinom hiba, the curse of a sage, even if it's Bechinom, even if the circumstances for it to have taken place aren't there, but since he uttered the curse, it will come, and certainly over here, but we don't necessarily see proof for measure. So the Gemara answers, no, it's not a function of Elisha's curse per se, but in addition to that, we have proof here to the point of measure for measure. In Cain, Lichtoiv Kraw, the pasuk could have written, Vayir Mesu Vayomois, he was trampled and he died. My Bashar, why does the pasuk say where he died, at the gate? And the answer to that is al iske shar, regarding the matters of the shar. To appreciate this point, let us look at notice the asterisk that we've inserted to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. That tells you to look at the bottom of Omid Aleph. Omid Aleph Basof. So let's turn back. We notice the second line from the bottom of Omid Aleph, you see the Pasuk where the the Novi said that the things are going to be very cheap tomorrow. They're going to be, for example, Sosayim, Sorim, Bishekel, Bishaar, Shomron. So that we see that the Novi said the prophecy concerning not only the low rates, but where it will be available. The fact that the Posuk upon his death inserts where he was trampled, Bishaar, that shows us that it's measure for measure. It's because of this denial regarding the food, he was trampled. But measure for measure. At this point, you notice we've squiggled on it for emphasis purposes the expression Minayin Latrias Amesim in Torah. This also brings our attention to the Nosei Mivneh heading that we featured in the margin. You'll notice that it's indicated that Ad Sof Tzadi Beis Omid Aleph, that this marking system and preoccupation of the Gemara will continue till Tzadi Beis Omid Aleph. There may be other stories and interruptions along the way, but we're going to be maintaining this marking system involving the diamonds till that point. What are we marking here? Psukim v'hechochos l'tchias ha'mesim. We're going to be denoting with the diamonds verses and other proofs for the revival of the dead. Psukim shehuvu v'nidchu mishum shi'ulai yesh l'farshom acheres. Verses that are going to be brought along in the sugya that are rejected because of a possible alternative explanation. Them alternative, namely explaining the verse as something other than revival of the dead. Nimnanu mi lisamnon. We have withheld ourselves from marking those off. So what we've marked with the diamonds are proofs that are not necessarily denied or refuted. So we begin, and we might want to note through the markings by way of a bird's eye view to see where these diamonds appear. We've added also a numbering system in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara so that you could skim down and see where they appear. So you see here a 1 and at the last of the narrow lines a number 2, and if you continue skimming down to the bottom of this Amud, you'll see that we get up to 6, and as you turn till Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, you'll notice in the lower part of the in the middle of the wide lines on the lower part of the page on Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis a 7, and it goes down to the bottom there reaching 11, and when you get to Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph the numbering system continues, and you can see that you get to the bottom of Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, and we'll see that we have even a number 15 that appears there. So we will be encountering in these next stopim quite a few proofs to this point of the resurrection of the dead, Min HaTorah. So we continue now, the first one being a long point. So we've indicated this, in addition to the diamond number 1, a dashed line following it indicating the length of this particular comment. Shinemar. Unesata mimenu es trumas Hashem li Aaron HaKohen, and you will give the truma tithe to Aaron HaKohen. The Aaron and receiving truma seems a little bit incongruous. V'chi Aaron le'olam kayom, is Aaron going to be alive such a long time? Truma tithes are characteristic of entrance to the land of Israel only. There were no truma tithes from agricultural produce before the entrance to the land of Israel, and Aaron, as we know, never entered the land of Israel. The Gemara points this out. Valo lo nichnas le'eretz Yisrael shenosam lo truma. He never entered the land of Israel in order to receive truma. So, what does the pasuk mean that you will give truma to Aaron? Ela melameh she'osid. This rather comes to teach us that she'osid in the future lichios he will come. He will be become alive again. V'Yisrael nosam lo truma, and the Jews will give him truma. Mikan l'tchias ha'mesim min ha'Torah. So from here you see a reference to the resurrection of the dead from a scriptural point. We now see a brackets that appears, and the length of the brackets is indicated by the length marker. You can see that vertical dash dotted line going down the right hand side of the Gemara text. We indicate in the margin the purpose of these brackets. Notice where we have an asterisk, it says sograyim. The note says in the inside margin, acharei ha-sograyim, after the brackets, ha-gemara tachzor le-mekor sutchias ha-meis, and Gemara will return to a discussion concerning sources for the resurrection of the dead. B'soich ha-sograyim, ha-gemara misasekes b'hanoisen truma le-koinam oretz. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will be preoccupied with the problem of giving truma to a kohen ignoramus. Truma, as everyone knows, must be dealt with in tara, with purity, and not expose it to tuma. Someone who is not learned won't know how to behave and won't be careful with these matters, and hence it's highly unadvisable, to put it lightly, to give truma to a kayin amaretz. If you just glance ahead on the text and you skip the brackets for a moment, you see Tanya Reb Shmuel Omer, Minayin L'Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah. We've actually squiggle underlined that expression once again to draw your attention to the centrality of this point in the Gemara's discussions. We will be squiggle underlining that expression as we go along occasionally. And before we get to that, though, let us go now and learn straight through the bracketed section. In a manner of speaking, the next comment is actually a point of machlokes, whereby the Gemara up till now explained the presence of Aharon in that pasuk, and the Gemara took it to mean that there would be the resurrection of the dead based on the presence of the name Aharon in the pasuk. The Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, they have a different take on that. And they say La'aron, the name La'aron in that pasuk is teaching me something else. Ki'aron, that when it comes to the giving of truma, you should give it to someone like Aaron. Ma'aron chaver, just like Aaron was a scholarly individual, a trustworthy individual. Af bonov, so to future generations of kehanim chaverim, those that are scholarly or careful with halacha. That the term chaver is often used in opposition to an amoretz. He's someone who's careful with tumas and taros. So to those kind of kohanim, namely all kohanim are offspring of Aaron, those kind of kohanim, chaverim, to those people you give the truma. In our markings, we now encounter a crown marking. We should have noted this a moment before. We had the Bei Rabbi Shmuel. The Bei was in this marking, and now Rav Shmuel Nachmeni. These are noted on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We've indicated this is in the brackets. That Mekoros Hamalamdin Dein Loseis Truma L'Koyin Amoretz. Sources for this particular point that one should not give Truma to a Koyin Amoretz, to a Koyin Ignoramus. So we saw the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, they presented the name Aaron as a source for that idea. Omar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omar of Yoinason, Minayin She'ein Noistem Truma L'Koyin Amoretz. From where do you know that we do not give the Truma tithe to a Koyin Ignoramus? Shenemar, Vayomer La'om L'Yoshve Yerushalayim, Loseis Minas Akoyenim V'Halavim, Leman Yechziku B'Toras Hashem. Now the Gemara deals with that pasuk. Kol hamachzik b'toras Hashem, he who beholds the Torah of Hashem, yesh lo menas, he has a portion. In other words, one who is scholarly, he will have a menas, a portion, namely the truma tithe. V'she'eino machzik b'toras Hashem, and we infer that he who does not hold the Torah, ein lo menas, he who doesn't keep the mitzvahs and learn the Torah and is careful with tumas and taras, he does not have a chelek. He does not have a portion, does not get the truma. Omar of Acha bar Ada, Omar Rav Yehuda. We now encounter another geometric form, in this case, the triangle. This is explained under our Mivneh heading. We have a triangle and we've underlined certain expressions. Shloisha Gimel Tiurim, three descriptions, Hakshurim, that are associated Lami Shanoisin Trumas L'Koyin Amoretz, regarding someone who gives his Truma tithe to a Koyin Ignoramus. So we continue now. Omar Rav Acha Bar Ado, Omar Rav Yudah, Kol HaNoisin Truma L'Koyin Amoretz, Ki'ilu Noisna Lifnei Ari. One who gives a Koyin Ignoramus the Truma tithe, it's as if he's giving it to a lion. What's the parallel? Ma Ari. just like when it comes to a lion and his eating habits. A lion comes and he swipes away a head of cattle from one's herd. Do you know what the lion is going to do with it? Sofek dores v'ochel. There's a possibility that he may trample it and consume it immediately. Sofek eino dores v'ochel. A possibility that he might not trample it and eat it immediately, but rather drag it away and put it away for storage, for eating later on. Af kohen amoret. So too, regarding a kohen who is an ignoramus, you also have an issue of doubt concerning his consumption. Sofek oichlo betara, sofek oichlo betuma. You don't know whether he will eat it and, in fact, be in a state of purity or be in a state of impurity. And of course, achilas truma betuma seguf is chayav misa bidei shamayim. It's penalized by death at the hands of heaven. That, once again, is eating truma Torah betuma saguf. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, af goreim lo misa. Another comment regarding the giving of truma to a kohen amoretz, it causes his death. Shenemar umesu bo ki yichalalu. That they can suffer death through their defaming the truma by their ruining it. Debay Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Tana af masio avoin ashma. Rashi explains, you by giving him this, you're causing him to sin many sins. Shenemar v'hasio oisam avoin ashma bi'ochlam es kochehem, and as the pasuk indicates, that you're placing upon them or causing them to be guilty of sins through their consumption of items that are holy, and in this case, truma. Now we go back, as we mentioned before, as you see the brackets end, we go back to the issue of sources for the resurrection of the dead in verses. Tanya, Rabbi Simoi, Omer. We have a large Tanaic source, and in this Tanaic source, by glancing ahead, you see the diamonds, and as we mentioned before, the diamonds are sources in verses or other kinds of proofs to the resurrection of the dead. So Rav Simoi says, from where do we know this? From the Torah, Shenemar, Vegam hakimoisi es brisi itam, loseis lohem es eretz kanan. And I will establish my covenant with them. The itam is a reference to the forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to give them the land of Canaan. Lochem lo nemar doesn't say to you, to the listeners of this particular posuk, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, I will establish my bris, my covenant, and give to you. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say lochem. Elo lochem, I will give to them. Well, to them. To they're not around anymore, the Ovos. Rather, mikan l'tchiz ha-meisim min ha-Torah, that they will experience resurrection and at that point gain their holding in the land of Israel. Shalu minim es Rabban Gamliel. Minayin shakodesh baruch hu mechaye meisim. The skeptics asked Rabban Gamliel, from where do you know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu revives the dead? Omar Lahem, he says to them, I can prove that to you, min ha-Torah, u min ha-Naviim, u min ha-Ksuvim, velo kiblu mimenu. He told them proofs from the Torah, from the prophets, and from the writings, all part of the Tanakh, and they did not accept what he said. And now we have a brackets here. Notice the length indicator of the brackets to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the dash dotted line. So if you skip down, so we just got finished saying that they did not accept his proofs, and we read now, skipping the brackets, Ad Shem Omar Lohem Mikroza, until he told them the following verse. So what's going to happen as far as the Gemara structure? He presents to them three sources, and you can see with our double underline series marking, we will be featuring the multiple sources that Rabban Gamliel presents to them, but they reject each one, and that will be seen in the presentation at each point. Vidilma, you'll notice we've squiggle underlined that expression. Those are the rejections of those particular proofs. So they will reject them until he gets to a pasuk later on, and that's after the brackets. With all that having been said, let's now read the Gemara straight through. So he tries to prove to them, number one, min ha-Torah, the first double underline. Dichtiv, vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hincha shochev im avoisecha v'kom. It says that God says to Moshe that you will die. Shochev is to recline, but means to literally to die. with your forebears, v'kom, and arise and get up later. Revival of the dead. Omru lo, the skeptic said back, who says that the word v'kom is attached to the beginning of the pasuk? V'dilma, maybe the word v'kom is to be attached to the latter part of the pasuk, where it says v'kom ha'om hazeh v'zona. In other words, the skeptics say that God said to Moshe, hincha shochev im avozecha, you're going to die. And as far as the continuation of the pasuk, v'kom ha'om hazeh v'zona, after your death, the nation will arise and go astray. So the word v'kom as a reference, as referring to Moshe, is disputed by the skeptics. Let's try again. Min ha'navim, number two. Dichtiv, yichyu meisecha nevelosi yekumun ha'kitzvan reshochne ofar ki tal oros talecha ve'eretz refoim tapil. The pasuk says at the very beginning, yichyu meisecha, that your dead will come back to life. A fairly clear reference to the revival of the dead. However, the skeptics respond, "Vidilma mesim shehechya yecheskel." Maybe it's a reference simply to the dead that were revived by the prophet Yecheskel, the well-known story of the dry bones that were revived. But it's not a reference to a general resurrection of the dead. Min haksuvim. So we try attempt number three. Dichtiv, v'chikech kiyein hatoiv holech ledodi lemeshurim doivev sifse yeshenim. At the end of the pasuk, it says that the doivev sifse yeshenim, the yeshenim are the dead. Doivev sifse, the movement of the lips, of the dead would indicate revival. V'dilma, the Gemara presents their skeptic's rejection. It could be Rechushe Merachshon Sifsase Be'alma K'Rabbi Yochanan. They are not denying the idea of moving of the lips, but they are saying it could be a simple fluttering of the lips, as Rabbi Yochanan teaches. Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehotzada, Komi Shenemer Halacha B'Shmoi Bo'ilam Hazeh, anyone in whose name a halacha is said over in this world, the author of that particular halacha, even though he's dead, sifsoisav doivavois bakever, his lips flutter in the grave. There's movement of the lips of the dead. Shenemar doivav sifse yeshenim. In fact, this is a teaching of Rabbi Yochanan himself in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. But even though there's lip movement, it doesn't indicate full revival of the dead. Ad shomer lahem mikrozeh, until Rabbi Gamliel said the following pasuk, which does convince them. Asher nishba Hashem la'avoseichem loseis lohem, that God swore to the forefathers to give to them. Lohem lo ne'emar, doesn't say to give to you. Elo lohem, to give to them, to give to the forefathers that are dead. How do you give a portion to he who is dead? So it must be mikan l'tchias ha'mesim in the Torah. From here you see the revival of the dead, that the forefathers will be revived and receive their portion. V'yeshomer min ha'mikra hazeh omar lahem. Another opinion is from the following pasuk. Rabbi Gamliel said something convincing to them. V'atem hadvekim b'shem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. Chayim kulchem, all of you will be alive. It's pointed out, Mahayom, we continue in the reading after the parentheses, Mahayom kulchem kayom, just like today, everyone is alive. All the people that are listening to me are here alive today. Af lo olam haba kulchem chayim. So too, in the next world, there will be revival of the dead. The Rashi points out, Chaim kulchem hayoim, dahai hayoim, this word hayoim, miyusar, huis, it's extra. The motzi lemichtav chaim kulchem. It simply could have said that you are all alive. Ma tamalomer hayoim, what is that inserted for? Ke hayom, it's there to parallel, to make a parallel. Ma hayom, just like today, so too, the olam haba, there will be everyone alive. Sha'alu romayim es Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. The Romans asked of Rabbi Yeshua Hanani two questions. One, Aleph, Minayin Shekodesh Baruch Hu Machaya Mesim, and Beis, V'yodea Masha Osilios, and from where do you know that God knows what the future is? Omar Lahu, Rabbi Yeshua says back to them, Travaihu min hamikroze. Both of your questions can be resolved from the following pasuk. Shenemar, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hincha shochev im avoisecha, Vekom ha'om hazev izona. The way he is understanding the pasuk is that Moshe will die with his forefathers, Vekom, and he will get up, indicating the resurrection of the dead. And that also a statement that the nation will go astray. So the Romayim respond, Vidilma, it could be that in this pasuk the word Vekom is not going on the original part, the early part of the pasuk indicating a resurrection of Moshe, but rather Vidilma Vekom Ha'om Hazev Ezona, that they, the nation, will arise and go astray. But that there's, you don't see from here a source that there will be the resurrection of the dead. Omar lehu, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said to them, okay, nekotu miha palgo biyodaihu. At least accept half of your questions, an answer to half of your questions, theodea ma sheosilios. We notice we've inserted a base here corresponding to the base two lines above, which was their second question. You see from here at least a reference to his foreknowledge of future events. Itmar Nami Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Minayin Shekodesh Baruch Hu Mechaya Mesim V'Yodei Ma She'Oseh Lios. From where does one know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will revive the dead and also knows the future? Shenemar Hincha Shochev Im Avoisecha Vekom V'Chulei. The very pasuk that Rabbi Yishuv Ben Chananya quoted above in the source to answer both of the questions. Tanya Omer Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi B'Dover Ze Ziyafti Sifrei Minim. And through the following, I proved the falsehood, the falseness of their, of the books of the skeptics. Shehoyu Omrim, they would claim, Ein Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah, that they claim there is no reference to the revival of the dead from the Torah. Amarti Lahem, I said to them, Ziyaftem Taraschem Velolisem Biyedchem Klum. You have forged your own Torah teachings and have got no benefit from it. Sha'atem oimrim ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. You claim that there is no scriptural reference to the revival of the dead from the Torah. Harehu omer, but you have a pasuk that says, Hikoreis tikoreis ha'nefesh ha'hi avon haba. And now in explaining the pasuk, Hikoreis tikoreis, that they will be cut off, equals b'olam hazeh, cut off in this world, in other words, dying young, avon haba. Well, if they're dead, what does it mean their sin is with them? Avona ba li emas. When is that their sin will be with them? Lav lo olam haba. Is that not a reference to the next world? In other words, that they will not be zoche to revival with the rest of the people that will be revived. Omer le Rav Papa le Abaye. V'leim alohu travayu mihikores tikores. Why couldn't Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi have said the reference to to both worlds from the double expression, hikores tikores, in other words, cut off from this world and cut off from the world to come, whereby the world to come, which is going to be the benefit of all the others and not to these. Hence you see a reference to a world to come, a revival of the dead, from the double expression. So why did he not answer them that way? Inhu, Havu, Amrile, they would have said back to him, the double expression itself is not convincing. Dibro Torah, Kaloshan Bnei Odom. The Torah activates double expressions because of its manner of speaking, of communicating like common man. And common people, when it comes to points of emphasis, they often double their expressions. Kit Tanoi. The note on the side says that we've written in Hatanoim Haboyim, the following Tanoim, Lo Darshim Avona Ba Bekeshel Olam Haba, they don't Darshin Avona Ba, as we just saw as a reference to the next world. The Cholkim Al Mashmos Hikores Tikores, their Machlokis concerns the understanding of the double expression. Since they do not darshan avona ba, the Gemara itself will ask, what do they do with that expression? So we now turn back to the Gemara. Kitanoi, hikores tikores. Hikores bolam hazeh, one who practices idolatry will be cut off in this world. Tikores to olam haba, and will be cut off from the next world as well, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Omror lo Rabbi Shmuel, valo kvar nemar, does it not already say, es Hashem hu megadeif v'nichrisah? In the realm of idolatry, Is there not a reference to an additional kares? Are there three worlds? Elo. V'nichrisa equals ba'olam hazeh. Hi kares equals le'olam haba. As far as the double expression is concerned, the doubling of the hi kares, that's dibra tera keloshan b'nei adam. That's simple emphasis because of that's the way people speak. So as far as the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are concerned, what is the reference to Olam Haba? According to Rabbi Akiva, Tikares is a reference to that, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, the expression Hikares is a reference to Olam Haba. Bain Rabbi Shmuel Bain Rabbi Akiva Avon Haba Mai Avdi Bay. Between the two of them, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, what do they do with the expression of Avon Haba? We saw that darshan a few lines up, and you can see with arrows to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text where it was mentioned. So what do they do with it? L'chidisanyo, they use it for the following. Yochol, would there be a kores penalty? Afilu also tshuva, even if someone does penitence. Talmud Lomar Avona Ba Lo Amarti Elo Bizman Shavona Ba. The penalty of Kores is binding only when the sin is still there, but not if someone did tshuva, did penitence. Sha'ala Cleopatra Malkisa is Rabbi Meir. The queen Cleopatra asked Rabbi Meir. Omra, she says, Yodana Dechai Shachvi. I know Dechai that come alive, the Shachvi the dead. Dichtiv. They will sprout forth like the grass of the land. Elo, kishehen oindin. My question is, says Cleopatra, omdin arumin, when they get up, do they come up unclothed? Oh, bilavushehen omdin, or are they revived clothed? Omar lo, kavachomer mechita. So the Rabbi Meir answers, I can prove it through kalvachomer logic from a grain of wheat. Uma chita shenikbara ruma yoitza bekama levushin. A grain of wheat, when it's planted, is planted as a naked grain. When it grows, when it sprouts forth and forms a head of grain, it comes with many layers of a shell on it. Sadikim shenikbaru. Shinikborim bilavushayim sadikim that are buried with a form of clothing on them already, alachas kama vakama, and all the more so when they come forth, they sprout up, so to speak, from the ground, all the more so will they be clothed. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.